Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into something that's really fascinating to me, the connection between language and communication, and how all of that plays into translating the Bible. And we've done a lot of groundwork in our previous deep dives. We've defined what translation is. We've looked at the different types of translation, the qualities of good translation, the role of scripture engagement materials. But before we get too academic, I wanted to share something that I ran into the other day, just at the local drugstore. I was there, and I saw a sign, and it was about Medicaid prescriptions. And it was, in English and in Spanish, and it got me thinking about translation. So the English version just said, "Medicaid prescriptions, welcome." And the Spanish version was a little different. It said, "Surtimos recetas de Medicaid," which, if you break it down, means we fill Medicaid prescriptions. And it just struck me that they were emphasizing different aspects of that message. The English was very much like, "Hey, welcome, come on in." And the Spanish was more like, "We take care of this for you." And so it just made me realize that effective translation isn't always about, a word-for-word literal translation. It's about capturing the essence of the message and making sure that that comes across to the people reading it. And that kind of leads us into this concept called intralingual translation. And intralingual translation, might sound kind of technical, but it's something that we do all the time. You wouldn't explain a medical procedure to a 5-year-old the same way that you would to a colleague. You would probably use different language. You would simplify it. You might use analogies. So instead of saying annual physical exam, you might say yearly checkup. Or instead of saying chest x-ray, you might say, "We're going to take a picture of your chest." So it's the same information, but it's being communicated in a different way. And this brings us to this kind of fundamental truth about language, that it is fundamentally social. It shapes how we think, how we connect, how we express ourselves creatively and emotionally, how we influence people, how we share information, all of these things.
And it was that understanding of language as a social act that really revolutionized Bible translation. And a lot of that can be traced back to Eugene Nada and his concept of functional equivalence.
So functional equivalence, what is that?
Well, Nita basically argued that it's not enough to just translate the words of the Bible literally. We also need to understand the function of those words. What was their intended impact on the original audience? It's about grasping not just what the text says, but why it was said and what the author was trying to achieve.
So kind of like when you get a text message from a friend, you're not just reading the words, you're trying to figure out what do they really mean? Like, what's the intent behind this? So you're saying Nita applied that same principle to the Bible.
He said we need to look at the context. Who was this written to? What were they talking about? What was the point of all of this?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I guess that also means that different books of the Bible could have different functions.
Precisely.
They're not all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, like we look at Genesis, for example, is the purpose of Genesis just to teach us history?
Right.
Or is it trying to say something more about humanity's relationship with God?
And how does that differ from, say, what we see in the Gospels or the letters that Paul wrote?
So we need to think about what was the author trying to communicate and to whom were they communicating it? It's kind of like trying to understand, the purpose behind a news article or the piece of art. You're not just looking at the surface. You're trying to figure out, what's the message behind it?
And there are a lot of different schools of thought as to where meaning resides. Some people would say that the meaning is with the reader. Some would say that the meaning is in the text itself. Some would say that the meaning is in the historical context.
But wouldn't it make sense that just like in a regular conversation where we're trying to understand the speaker's intent, we should do the same thing with the Bible?
Yeah, I think that's a natural way to approach it. Trying to understand what the author intended to communicate, I think, helps unlock a deeper level of meaning.
Okay, so for example, let's look at Psalm 1. It's this beautiful piece of poetry, but it's more than just pretty words. It has a message. And we see that in lines like, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked," or "His delight is in the law of the Lord." So the author is giving us guidance, a path to righteousness.
Now, what happens when we try to figure out what Paul's intentions are in passages from like Colossians or 1 Corinthians?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Paul was very skilled at using language in subtle ways to try to guide his readers.
Mm-hmm.
Even something that seems very simple, like love is patient, love is kind,
right,
from 1 Corinthians 13, or food will not commend us to God from 1 Corinthians 8.
Right.
Those statements, even though they seem straightforward, have layers of meaning and purpose that we need to try to uncover.
Okay.
And this is where the challenge of Bible translation comes in.
Okay.
It's not just about translating the words, but it's about conveying the author's intent.
Right.
The impact that those words were supposed to have on the original audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find ways to express that in the target language.
Right.
Using things that will resonate with the new audience.
Wow. So we're not just translating words. We're translating, like, the author's heart, their message, their purpose.
That's a tall order.
It is. It is. But that's why understanding these concepts of functional equivalence and authorial intent is so important.
Yeah.
Because it allows us to engage with the Bible on a much deeper level.
It's like we're not just reading the words.
Yeah.
We're stepping into a conversation across time and cultures.
Right.
Whoa, okay. I need a minute to process this.
Okay.
This is really making me rethink how I read the Bible.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm ready to jump back in this whole thing about functional equivalence and authorial intent.
Okay.
It's really kind of blowing my mind.
Yeah, it really does make you rethink things.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about this challenge of communicating authorial intent across these, you know, cultural and linguistic barriers.
Yeah.
This seems like a really tough thing to do.
It really is. It's almost like if you were trying to translate a poem that was written in a completely different language.
Right.
You know, you can't just translate the words literally.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to capture the emotion,
right,
the imagery,
yeah,
the impact that that poem was supposed to have.
Right. That makes me think of how sometimes jokes don't translate well.
Exactly.
Like what's funny in one language
might
not be funny at all in another language.
Right. Because it depends on, you know, cultural references, wordplay, things like that.
Yeah. So with the Bible, are there places where we see
absolutely
things that are
all the time
hard to translate?
Yeah. I mean, biblical texts are full of these little subtle cues and nuances.
Okay.
And sometimes those things just don't translate easily into another language.
Right.
You know, we'd have to consider things like idioms,
mm-hmm,
metaphors, cultural practices that would have been very familiar to the original audience.
Wow.
But to a modern reader, they might not have a clue.
Yeah, they might be totally lost.
Exactly. So how do translators deal with this? Well, sometimes they have to stray from a word-for-word translation in order to achieve that functional equivalence.
So sometimes sticking too closely to the words, actually.
Yeah, sometimes it can actually obscure the meaning.
Okay.
So a good translator might use, you know, different literary devices or idioms or even cultural references that would be familiar to the target audience in order to try to get that same impact.
But it's almost like they're having to translate not just the words, but the meaning and the emotion and the cultural context.
Right. Yeah.
All of that has to come across.
Just trying to bridge that gap between the ancient world and our modern understanding.
It's amazing to think about all the things that a Bible translator has to know and be able to do.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
They're like linguistic detectives in a way.
Yeah.
They're uncovering these layers of meaning.
Right.
And then they're having to weave it all together to something that will make sense to a new audience.
That's a great analogy.
And it really kind of highlights how important it is to have translators that are not just good with languages.
Right.
But they also understand the cultures.
Yes.
And the history.
Yes, absolutely.
So they have to be like chameleons.
Yeah, they have to be able to move back and forth between these different worlds and find a way to connect them.
You know, this whole conversation is really making me think about how language is so much more than just words.
It really
is. It's a way for us to understand the world.
Yeah.
To connect with people, to make sense of things.
Right. Language is so powerful. It shapes our thoughts, our beliefs.
Yeah.
Our interactions with the world around us.
So when we think about translating something as complex as the Bible, we really have to be aware of all these different layers of language and how they can affect meaning.
Absolutely.
So as readers, you know, how can we approach the Bible with a better understanding of all of this? Like what should we keep in mind?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that No translation is perfect.
Okay.
Every translation is an interpretation.
Okay.
It's a human attempt to capture the essence of a divine message.
Right.
And as readers, we should be aware of the choices that translators have made and how those choices might affect our understanding.
So we should be thinking critically about it.
Exactly.
Not just taking the words at face value.
Yeah. Don't just passively absorb the words.
Yeah.
Actively engage with the text.
Right.
Ask questions about, you know, why did the translator choose this word instead of that word?
Okay.
And it's helpful to, you know, compare different translations.
Right.
Look at the footnotes, the introductions.
Yeah.
Consult commentaries.
Right.
Different resources to try to get a deeper understanding.
So it's kind of like we become detectives ourselves.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out.
Uncover the truth.
Yeah. What's the real meaning here?
Yeah.
What was the author trying to say?
Right.
What was the cultural context, all that?
And the more we learn about translation, the more I think we appreciate just how complex this whole process is of trying to communicate meaning across time and across cultures.
This whole conversation has really changed how I think about reading the Bible.
Good. I'm glad.
It's not just a book of stories.
Right.
It's like a tapestry of language and history and culture.
Absolutely.
And to really understand it, you have to appreciate all those threads.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing to me that something like language can have such a big impact on how we understand the Bible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, language is the vehicle through which we're receiving and interpreting these ancient texts.
Yeah.
So understanding the nuances of language is so important.
It really is. And it's like we've been talking about these different layers of translation.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the translation of the words themselves.
Right.
From, you know, Hebrew and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also this other layer of translating the meaning.
Right.
And the intent. And the cultural context.
Yeah, you're translating all of that for a modern audience.
Yeah, and that's a process that's been going on for centuries.
Absolutely. I mean, people have been wrestling with these challenges of translation since the very beginning of the Christian faith.
And it really speaks to the power of these texts.
Yeah.
That they still resonate with people all over the world.
Yeah, across languages, across cultures.
Yeah, after all this time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive here.
Okay.
Into this world of language and communication in Bible translation.
Mm-hmm.
What's like the one big thing you want our listeners to walk away with?
I would say approach the Bible with a sense of curiosity and humility.
Okay.
Remember that every translation is an interpretation. It's a human attempt to convey this really rich and complex message.
Right.
So don't be afraid to ask questions, to compare different translations, to really dig in to the historical and cultural context.
So be an active participant.
Exactly.
Not just a passive receiver of the information.
Engage with the text. Wrestle with the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Allow it to challenge you
and
to transform you.
That's beautiful.
And
it really makes me think about the huge responsibility that Bible translators have.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not just translating words.
Right. They're shaping how people understand
God,
faith, the meaning of life.
It's a humbling task.
It really is. And it requires so much skill and sensitivity and dedication.
Yeah.
I think we owe a lot to the translators
who
dedicated their lives to this.
It's like they're building bridges
between
cultures and languages.
Yes, connecting us to this ancient message.
So the next time we pick up a Bible, let's remember the journey that those words have taken.
Yes.
All those centuries of translation and interpretation and transmission.
And let's approach it with an open mind, a willingness to listen, knowing that the Bible has something to say to each of us, no matter what our language is.
No matter our background.
No matter our background.
Well, thank you so much for taking us on this deep dive.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
It's really changed how I think about the Bible and the power of language.
I'm so glad to hear that. I love sharing these wonders of translation and the richness of the Bible.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Yeah.
We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity
and
maybe inspired you to engage with the Bible in some new ways.
Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with your friends.
Yeah. Spread the word.
Who love to learn. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into a new and exciting topic.